So this morning, obviously we're going to be breaking bread in a moment, but I've been thinking this week about, it's actually because we've been doing the address list and sort of realising how many people have become part of River of Life since January. I know there's quite a few missing today. Maybe we'll encourage them to listen to this on the website. Because I thought, when you come into a church, you come in at the point that we're at now. And I thought, actually, sometimes it's helpful to know how we got to where we are today. And people assume that, you know, it's always been like this. And actually, it hasn't always been like this. Like any church, we've had great highs and we've had some pretty awful lows. And I thought, actually, it's good to know that so that you can see why we are who we are, if you like. So I thought, if I just give you a little potted history and then just go on to explain a little bit about who we are, what our values are, what our vision is. So for those of you that don't know, we weren't always River of Life Church. We started life as Broadwater Christian Fellowship, and it started with a group of people that left New Life Church in Durrington with New Life's blessing. It wasn't a church split or anything like that. It was a group of people that came out with Rodney Kingston that felt that they wanted to do church in a different way. And so started to meet at the Glyn Owen Centre. And after a while became part of what was then Pioneer under Gerald Coates. And it was a very loose sort of network, really a meeting of friends. And we became part of that. And so part of our DNA is very much rooted in Pioneer. And so, as you can see, we don't have an issue with women in leadership. We are very open in our worship. We recognise that the Holy Spirit gives gifts to us all, for us all to build up the church. And we want to encourage people to do that, that as God gives you gifts, that you find a place here to be able to use those gifts. But obviously, with that, as a congregation, we extend grace to people for what the times when they get it wrong, because we all get it wrong at times. And also as a leadership, that if there are things that are said that maybe we don't feel is quite right or not fitting with the vision, that we would say. But within that freedom, within those constraints, we want to encourage everyone to be able to minister in whatever way the Holy Spirit encourages us to. So that was our route. That's where we started. We started off well, and then we had a bit of a dip and came to the point where we were almost on the verge of saying, do we continue or not? And around that time, a Nigerian pastor came from London, and he came and he was coming to pray in Worthing. He came to speak for a couple of weeks, and at that time, this building, which was a building that was owned by the Christian Scientists, had come on the market. And it's a building that over that period of time we'd looked at a couple of times. But it had never been the right time to buy it. And then we didn't have the money. And then we came to this point and we were not even sure that we were going to carry on. But the Muslims were very interested in buying this place as a centre, Islamic centre for the South. And the other churches in the area were praying about that actually that wouldn't happen. This Nigerian pastor came and Roger shared with him and said, look, would you and your church just be praying about this building, because we really don't want it to be, become an Islamic centre. He went away, and then the next weekend he came to speak to us, and he spoke the longest sermon ever. He said his watch had stopped, and we're not quite sure whether that was the case or whether it was just an extremely long sermon. So we were almost like losing the will to live when he finally finished. And then he said, our church has been praying and we have a word for you. Can we bring this word? So Rod said yes. And basically, to cut a long story short, the word was that as a church that we had slept, but the time had come for us to rise up and to buy this building. And we were to go tomorrow. Now, bearing in mind that we didn't even have enough money at that point, we weren't sure that we could pay Rod. We got no money, and he was saying, go and put in an offer. So we clarified, do you mean tomorrow, literal tomorrow, or is this like God's tomorrow? And he said, no, tomorrow. You must go tomorrow. So Rod said, well, we'll pray about it, and if you think that that's right, phone me this afternoon. Well, by the end of the afternoon, we'd got £13,000 pledged. That was enough for a deposit. So the next day, Rod went to see the estate agent and said, this is going to seem extremely strange, but we believe that we should put in an offer on this building. We believe that we've got to do it today. And I can tell you that we have enough money for a deposit, but we have nothing else. But we believe that God has spoken to us and that we will have the money. And it turned out that this estate agent, his parents were Christians, went to the tab. He'd been brought up there. And he said, well, it's not that strange. I've seen that before. I'll put your offer in. And he said, but it's a good job you've come today, because they're actually meeting to consider the offers this afternoon. So if we hadn't have gone on that day, then that wouldn't have happened. And as you can see, we got the building. And also part of the word that Alfred brought was that we wouldn't be in debt with this building, that we wouldn't take out a mortgage. And the other churches, when they heard about what was happening, started to give us money where they'd been praying. And though we were a bit short, about £40,000 short, I think, and there was a church in Seaford that had had a building fund that had fallen through, their building had fallen through. And they asked for a copy of the prophetic word. We sent it to them, and they said, well, on the strength of this, we will give you the money that we have for our building fund. We will give it to you as a loan for 12 months, no interest, but we believe on the strength of this that you will be able to pay it back. And we were able to pay that back. God provided for us. So when I come into this building, I feel like it is a privilege, because God has given us this building. And since we've been in here, we have been through, as I say, ups and downs, highs and lows. We were part of New Frontiers. And then when Rod left, they felt that we didn't hold their values. And at the time, we were very hurt by it. And people left we lost most of our families, majority of our worship team. And it was a really, really difficult time. But actually, looking back, they were right. Because when Vicky took over leading the church, we were at the point where we were, you know, what do we do again? Do we carry on or do we stop? And Vicky took on leading the church. And she said, no, we go back. We reconnect with Pioneer, because that's where our roots are. That's our DNA is with Pioneer. And so we started to build again. And so here we are all these years later. And when Vicky took over, we also felt that was the time to change our name, because it was a new start, it was a fresh beginning. And some people think, oh, River of Life, that's a funny name. But actually, if you want to turn in your Bibles, I'd like us just to have a look at Ezekiel chapter 47, because this is where we read about the River of Life. So Ezekiel 47. It says, in my vision, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. There I saw a stream flowing east from beneath the door of the temple and passing to the right of the altar on its south side. The man brought me outside the wall through the north gateway and led me around to the eastern entrance. There I could see the water flowing out through the south side of the east gateway. And then he measures it out. And then down to verse 6. He asked me, have you been watching, son of man? Then he led me back along the riverbank. When I returned, I was surprised by the sight of many trees growing on both sides of the river. Then he said to me, This river flows east through the desert into the valley of the Dead Sea. The waters of this stream will make the salty waters of the Dead Sea fresh and pure. There will be swarms of living things wherever the water of this river flows. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea, for its waters will become fresh. Life will flourish wherever this water flows. Fishermen will stand along the shores of the Dead Sea. All the way from Engedi to Englaim, the shores will be covered with nets drying in the sun. Fish of every kind will fill the Dead Sea, just as they fill the Mediterranean. But the marshes and the swamps will not be purified. They will still be salty. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow along both sides of the river. The leaves of these trees will never turn brown and fall, and there will always be fruit on their branches. There will be a new crop every month, for they are watered by the river flowing from the temple. The fruit will be for food, and the leaves for healing. So we read there that this river flowing from the very throne of God brings life wherever it flows. And we want this church to be a place where people flourish in their relationship with God and in one another because of the river of life that is flowing through here, the Holy Spirit that lives in each one of us and that works in this place. So we want to see life springing up all around us. We want to see people come to know God, and we want them to experience his love. And we want to be a people that reflect that love to each other and to our community. We read that because of this river, trees grow along the banks and they produce fruit. The trees are full of fruit, and we want to be a fruitful church. We want to see growth in our own lives, but we want to encourage others to grow as well in their gifts and in the fruits of the Spirit. And we want to see people in our community blessed by the fruit that is produced in this place. The leaves bring healing, the leaves of the tree. And we've had prophetic words over the years about this church being a place of healing and a place of rest for people that are tired and hurting. We want it to be a place where people can come and find space to experience the healing of God in their lives, in their bodies, their minds and their spirit. So a place of fruitfulness, a place of healing. And then we read that on this river is so full of fish that there are fishermen on the bank, and the fishermen are standing shoulder to shoulder and they're catching fish together. And Jesus calls us to be fishers of men. We did that at our last family service. We talked about what it is to be fishers of men, to do this together, to take that call that when Jesus was taken into heaven and he said, "This is what I want you to do. I want you to go into the world and I want you to take my gospel, I want you to take my good news to people." So we're to fish together, but we're not to fish in isolation. But actually, God has placed us as a church in a group of churches here in Broadwater that work together, that are happy to stand shoulder to shoulder, side by side, working in our different churches, but still working together. And we're part of that. We're not just a little group here, but we're part of a bigger group who are fishing in the river that flows through Broadwater and through Worthing. We're also part of Pioneer, of the network of churches that make up Pioneer. So we go out wider than just our locality. We're involved in a bigger group. And then we reach out to the world through people like Vicky working in Kyrgyzstan, Colin and Sue in France. All people that we have connections with and that we are able to help and work alongside. So we're always looking for ways that we can work more closely with other people to see God's kingdom grow and to encourage each other to press on in the areas where God has planted us. God has planted us here and he's caused a river to flow in this place. And we need to be fruitful, to bring healing and to bring life to where God has planted us. And then we read that this river finally reaches the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea is called the Dead Sea because there's nothing living in it, because of the minerals and that are in there. But something happens when this river hits the Dead Sea. Life. And there are times when God calls us to go into dark places, or there are issues where we are called to make a stand, where it seems like there is no life. And yet when we step into those situations, the Bible says that we are to be salt and light, that we are to make a difference. Because of the Holy Spirit living in us, we can make a difference. We can go into places that are dark, places where things seem dead, and we can bring life because of what Jesus has done. We are carriers of that life. So that's why we're called River of Life, because in that name, all this is contained, that we are a fruitful people, that we are a people that believe that God can heal. We're a people that believe that God wants to bring new life to other people. If you look on our website, our strap line, if you like, is loving God, loving people. And that sums up who we are. It comes from Matthew chapter 22, where the Pharisees said, "Teacher, what is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" And Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbour as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments." So this sums up what we're about loving God with everything that we have, all that we are, and loving others, loving each other, loving our community, loving our world with the love that God has given us. It's a simple statement, but it contains so much when you start to look at it and think about it. For me, as the leader of River of Life Church, the verses that inspire me are those verses in Acts when we read about the early church and about how they did life together. And I look at that and I think that the way that they lived, the way that they lived out their lives together, spoke volumes to the people that were around them. As people observed what they did, as people watched, they saw something about the way that they lived, the quality of life, the way that they cared for each other, the way that they shared their stories together, that drew people. And even though it was dangerous to be known as a follower of Jesus, we're told that people were added to their numbers because they saw something that was different in them. They saw something that was lacking and that they wanted. And that's my heart for us, that as we do life together, as we meet together, as we go through our day-to-day lives, that people see something in us that makes them think, there's something there, I want something. That people start to ask the questions, why do you do that? Why is that important to you? It's because Jesus has done something in us. He's drawn us together as a group of people, and we are living out day-to-day the love and the stuff that God has done in each one of us. So what sort of a community are we? Or what sort of community do we want to be? What are our values here? Well, first of all, we want to be welcoming and we want to be inclusive. We don't want there to be a notice on the door that says certain people can't come in. You know, because you've done drugs or whatever, that there is a bar on that door preventing anyone from coming in this place. Because as soon as we start to do that, then there's reasons why each one of us couldn't be here, because none of us are perfect. And so we need to be a group of people that are welcoming and inclusive of anyone. And that's not just our welcome team, who do a great job, but all of us should be welcoming for people that come in, old, young, rich, poor, whatever, wherever they are on the journey. Sometimes loving people can be really difficult. Sometimes people can be really challenging when they come in. And sometimes we can feel like people are taking advantage of us. But you know what? That's what being church is all about. You know, we can live with that. If God can live with us, we can live with that as well. So there'll be things that'll happen, but we don't let that deter us from doing good. We want to be generous. Generosity has always been a hallmark of this place, not just with our money, but with our time, our skills, our abilities. Generous in our speech, speaking well of each other, speaking well of other churches, giving praise where it's due, encouraging people and blessing them. We can be generous in that. Hospitable. We want to be hospitable people, welcoming people into our homes as well as our church, eating together, as we will be next Sunday, doing life together. We want to be attractive, not in the aren't we beautiful sort of way, but we want there to be something attractive about us that attracts people in and actually makes them think, actually, I'd like to be a part of this. You know, then perhaps not people I'd necessarily be drawn to or people that I would necessarily be friends with, but there's something here that makes me think, actually, I'd quite like to belong here. I'd quite like to stay here. It should be about our quality of life. We need to be united in love. And Jesus prayed that for us in John 17, that we would be a people that know what it is to love each other and that we are united as a community. If we love each other as God loves us, then we'll be a church that grows in love, forgiveness, generosity, extending grace and mercy to each other and accepting each other, giving time to meet together so we can learn and grow in the knowledge of God. That's called discipleship. That's just as important as all the other stuff that we do outward. We also need to make sure that we're encouraging each other and building each other as part of the church. And we need to have a sense of purpose. We need to know who we are, what God has called us to. We know that we should be here. Every time we doubt this, we look at this building and think, God has put us here. And we're here until he tells us that he doesn't want us here any longer. And we have a job to do. We have a purpose. And our purpose is to be salt and light for our community. God has called us to be people that take what we have in here out. Not expecting people to come in, but for us to go out. But when people do come in, to be welcoming of them. So we need to love God and we need to love others. That's who we are. That's who River of Life Church is. And sometimes we get it wrong. A lot of times we get it wrong. There are things that we need to improve on. There are areas that we need to grow in. There are things that we need to do. But do you know what? God hasn't finished with us yet. And he's still prepared to work with us. He's still prepared to teach us and to lead us on. And I just hope that, you know, for those of you that have come in recently, that maybe you get a sense of that here. And that you feel that this is something that you really want to be part of. And that you bring your gifts and you bring the things that God has placed in you. I just want to say that for those of us who've been here for a long time, you have been such a blessing to us. You have been such an answer to prayer to us. And I'm just amazed at how God has answered our prayers through you. And, you know, we are so blessed. And I just believe that God has got things for us to do. And we just need to be seeking God, praying, and just seeing where God is leading us forward from this point, because we don't want to stand still. If we stand still, we become a stagnant pond, not a river of life. So we want to be a church that's moving on, hearing from God and growing together. So I think that's a good place really to come to break bread together, isn't it? To think about that we are brought together, we are part of the body of Christ, that God has brought us together, he has knit us together because of what he has done through the cross, through the sacrifice of Jesus, his great love poured out for each one of us, represented here in this bread and in these cups. This is how much God loves us. And this is why we love God, because of what he's done for us. Represented here in his body broken for us and his blood shed for us. And I think it would be really good if we gather around the table together and as we break bread, let's share it amongst us. Let's pray for each other and let's encourage each other. So people that have been at River of Life for a long time, let the newer people know how welcome they are and how much we appreciate them. And maybe some of those of you that are newer, if you've seen things here that you appreciate about us, maybe you could share that with us, because that would really encourage us as well. And maybe we could just pray together. If you're not comfortable with this, that is absolutely fine. You can just stay in your seat. Someone will bring the bread and the juice to you, and we are not offended at all. You're very welcome to do whatever you feel comfortable with. So maybe if I just pray, then Tony, if you could put some music on, maybe come down and join us and we'll break bread together. Lord, we thank you so much that you have drawn us together as a group of people. Lord, maybe we wouldn't necessarily have chosen each other, but Lord, you have chosen us and you have brought us together and you are knitting us together as a family. And Lord, we thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, for everything that is represented in each single person sitting here today. Thank you for the gifts, for the abilities that you have placed in them. Thank you for the families that they represent. Thank you for the workplaces that they represent and their friendship groups. And Lord, we pray that each one of us would be salt and light wherever you've placed us, whichever groups you've placed us in. And Lord, we just pray that you would continue to use us, that you would continue to encourage us. And Lord, that you would continue to pour out your blessing on us as a church. We thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you for your love, for your grace and your mercy that you've poured out for us, that's represented by these emblems here on this table. And Lord, as we break bread together, Lord, help us to be an encouragement and a blessing to each other. Amen.